Hey, how you doing? This is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and I want to talk to you today about dedicated DAS spectrum. And I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. DAS spectrum is not dedicated, you know, because obviously it's DAS because they spread out the carrier's spectrum, really. I mean, it's not a mystery here. I think everyone knows what distributed antenna systems are. So what I want to talk about today is what if they could dedicate DAS spectrum. But first, I want to thank Tower Safety. TowerSafety.com for sponsoring this podcast and also for sponsoring my blog. And they're based in Phoenix, Arizona. They are an accredited school in Arizona for the state of Arizona. And their phone number is 480-313-0678. And why would you call them at 480-313-0678? You would call them because they have training for the tower worker. In other words, they'll train you as a telecommunications technician. They're getting ready for what NWSA is doing for NATE, an authorized climber, a competent climber. They can do OSHA 10 training, OSHA 30, RF awareness, all the CPR training. They do all that. Plus, they have some crane operator training now, too. And coming in December, I believe, they'll have drone training. So that's a big deal. Drones are taking over, so why not get in, you know, and use drone training for closeout packages here for the tower industry? It makes sense to me. Now, back to what I want to talk about. It's all about me. I want to talk about dedicated DAS spectrum. If you want to learn more about DAS, I have my wireless deployment handbook. It's in the blog, wadeforwireless.com. I put together a book that I thought would really help the tower industry because so many people come to me and they ask me about deployments, but they don't just ask about one phase of it. I mean, a lot of people ask about installation, but I think a lot of tower guys know how to install radios and radio heads, and now you need fiber skills, but there's more to it than that. You know, there's the RF design, the site acquisition, there's the optimization, there's the site commissioning, and commissioning is different than installation, although in small cells, you can really do them all together. And then there's also integration. I'm getting off track here. What I want to talk about is a dedicated DAS spectrum. Now, let me go through DAS here a little bit. Distributed antenna systems, and DAS is still booming. In fact, I found a pretty cool website called DASpedia.com. DASpedia.com. You just can find some DAS information there. I just happened to stumble across it the other day, but I do like the fact that DAS is taking off. In fact, I'm getting more and more involved. I think you guys know I've been involved in small cells, and small cells and DAS go together. HetNet love. It's a HetNet, heterogeneous network. And the way that works is one big network for the HetNet all put together. I think that we can do more with DAS. Now, obviously, we'll still do it for the carriers, and I really want the carriers to free up the equipment so anyone can install DAS. I think even the small cells, if they would free it up, we could put it in anywhere. It's the carriers that are holding this up. The carriers are actually limiting the growth of coverage, in my opinion. But first, let's go over. Now, for DAS, normally when you install DAS, you'd go beyond DAS. You go beyond just what the carrier's coverage is. And I'm talking carrier here. Public safety is different. You want to have public safety coverage in there too. So there's another DAS system that you could be putting in. But let's talk carrier, because the carriers, they all want these buildings. They all want good coverage. And let's face it, a lot of people use their smartphones inside a building, in an office building, you know, an office environment, enterprise, things like that. That's why companies like SpiderCloud have taken off. SpiderCloud, very popular. You know, they have a small cell solution, but it really works for DAS. And these DAS solutions, you know, usually when they're brought in, they cover a larger venue. Like, you know, they don't just cover a floor or an office. They cover a building or, say, a stadium or something like that. And that's where it all comes into play. So what I think here is, how are we going to share the bandwidth? Now, there's Wi-Fi, but there's been a lot of problems with LTE handing off between the carrier and Wi-Fi for voice over Wi-Fi. I'm not saying they won't work it out. They're smart people, the engineers, but that's why I think the carriers like LTEU. I think with LTEU, it's not that it's carrying, it's not like the voice has to transfer from Wi-Fi. In other words, it's not the bands are carrying off to another provider. It's actually the format going from LTE to Wi-Fi. That's my understanding. So here we have an opportunity to do VoLTE, voice over LTE. We can do VoLTE instead of voice over Wi-Fi. We can do VoLTE to LTEU. So that's one alternative. Put in LTEU and then give all the carriers access to it one way or another. And the carriers would have what's similar to Wi-Fi, you know, their SSID on it. So that's basically how they would hand off, and they would have coverage here. But let's face it, a lot of things with the carriers now is about bandwidth. It takes a lot of bandwidth to keep customers happy, and I think we all know that. That's one of the things that most of these people are working on, is trying to get the bandwidth out to the customer, most of the carriers. Now, with LTE-U, the problem is, right now, you have a big fight between the Wi-Fi people and the LTE-U people. And on Wi-Fi side, you have the cable companies. You have the cable companies, you have the Wi-Fi providers. And, you know, basically what they're doing is trying to make LTE-U look like the worst thing since the Antichrist, right? I mean, at least when you read Cable Labs reports, they just bash LTE-U. And maybe it is that bad, I don't know. But when you talk to the carriers or Qualcomm, they do testing. And I have links in wadeforwireless.com in this blog, which will probably be named Dedicated DAS Spectrum. Still writing it up. But it's one of those things that you're just going to have this battle until it's resolved. And they're doing this battle to help the FCC swing it one way or the other. But I really don't see it going away. I just don't. I don't see LTE-U going away. In fact, I would be shocked if the FCC did not approve it. I just think the FCC sees it as unlicensed spectrum, and they'll throw it out there as long as it's not super harmful. Plus, with the carriers, like at least with the LTE they do have, you know, they paid a ton of money to get it out there. It isn't like they just applied for these licenses like in the old days. You know, you'd apply for a license, but you still paid for it. You paid a couple hundred dollars. And back then you had to prove with studies about the coverage and interference and so on. Now pretty much you go to the auction with a checkbook, right? I mean, I really don't think you do much more than that, unless you get an experimental license or something like that. But I think this is a great opportunity to go beyond LTE-U. One of the things I'm excited for is the 3.5 gigahertz spectrum. The FCC released 150 megahertz more of the 3.5 gigahertz spectrum, and I see that as a great opportunity. Now, where I saw it as an opportunity at first was backhaul, because that's a lot of backhaul. I mean, can you imagine if you could use a good bit of that spectrum? I'm hoping you can use it all. But it would be lightly licensed, which means you would still apply for a license because it's still used by earth stations and things like that. But it would also be something other than Wi-Fi. It wouldn't be in the Wi-Fi band. It wouldn't be unlicensed where anybody could use it. You would have a light license for your specific area, which is easy to apply. I think it's, what is it, $50 an application, something like that. I really don't know off the top of my head. You do the application, you do a little bit of engineering, you put your information in on the FCC's website, and bam, you got it. Now, they have this now, but the spectrum's very limited. It's really not useful for much. But if you could use this for LTE, then it could be used as maybe a backhaul, you know, a multi-point backhaul system, or you could use it right to the device. And I have links in there. In Japan and China, they're already using it for devices. In fact, I think it's Huawei that already has devices for this, which is pretty cool, right? I mean, Huawei is HTC. You probably know them as HTC, those devices out there that you buy. We don't have any, as far as I know, we don't have any 3.5 gigahertz devices in here. But, you know, who would really use this in the U.S.? Who would really want to build up a system that's lightly licensed? Well, I would, for one. That would excite me, and I would love to do something like that. It'd be cool to, you know, put in a core and build a lightly licensed system for the consumer that would be much cheaper than the carriers and maybe easier to access to, and maybe jump between Wi-Fi or LTE-U, the unlicensed band, to this 3.5 gigahertz band. And it would give the carriers a little of a, what would you say, low-quality competition. You know, you'd have different devices. But there are two small companies that you may have heard of, and those small companies are Google and Nokia. Google and Nokia are already working on tests to use it in this way, which I think is really cool, because then you would have some dedicated spectrum for, say, your tablet or your device, a smartphone. And I think that would be cool. And Google, I would like to think, would probably dedicate the time and money to make this work. And for me, that's big news, because it's competition for the carriers and something that is outside of the box, right? They're thinking outside the box. So the fact that the FCC did adopt this as an innovation ban, I think is really cool. I hope they open it to everybody, though. I hope they don't just give it to Google, which they may do. They may do, you know. They had the same ban over in Japan, and the government over there, the Japanese government, pretty much gave it away. That's how SmartBank did their low-cost deployment, which they're hoping to do here in the U.S. don't think it'll be as easy as they think it is, because over there they were given a lot of stuff. Over here, the carriers have to pay for bandwidth, which who knows what's going to happen with Sprint. Anyway, back to the point. I don't want to get on that topic. What I want to talk about here is if this band can open up and they can use it for LTE, what an alternative. I mean, to me, that's really exciting. It would be something new. It'd be innovative. And for all you deployment people out there, it's another opportunity to deploy it. And I would imagine they would not only deploy this, but they would also have either Wi-Fi or LTEU in it. If LTEU gets approved, I don't know how long the FCC is going to take on a ruling on that, but you could have equipment out there. So what are we waiting for? Let's just do it. We need equipment. We need for the OEMs to make something, whoever it is. That's what we need. That takes some time because they need to do it. They need to get it FCC type accepted and approved and all that. And then we can deploy, right? Well, maybe we can deploy if we don't want to put it in any carriers or share with anybody. But the problem is, if you do want to hand off with the carriers and back to you and maybe over to Wi-Fi, you're going to have to do interoperability testing, IoT, into their networks, right? But it's 150 megahertz of bandwidth to play with. Now, I don't know how much Google's going to play with, but how cool is that? It's a lot of bandwidth. I mean, you think about what the carriers are doing now with 10 megahertz and 20 megahertz each way. It's pretty cool. Now, I would see this being TDD, which, you know, means it would probably use the same band for everything, not FDD, where they have 10 megahertz up, 10 megahertz down. So when you have the same thing for everyone, they'd probably make like 20 megahertz channels, something like that. But to me, this is exciting stuff. For you, the deployment teams, think about it. You're going to do an RF design, which I would imagine on this they'll have to do because it's lightly licensed. You can't just go out there like Wi-Fi and throw it up anywhere. You actually have to have specific sites with coordinates, and you have to make sure the link's going to work and so on, but you actually have to put it out there. The other thing I see is like for site design, I see site acquisition, I see the installation teams, commissioning, integration, and then you're going to have to optimize it some way, especially if you're putting in an actual, you know, an LTE system for the carriers. It's going to have to go a little beyond what Wi-Fi does now. I know what the larger Wi-Fi carriers actually do some type of optimization, but let's face it, there's so much Wi-Fi out there. If you have something that's lightly licensed and dedicated, how cool is that? I mean, you would have to dedicate your channels and then you would have it for your customers. It would be pretty cool. So thank you, FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler. Thank you, Tom Wheeler. I think it's really great you did this for us, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'd like to thank the Department of Defense for allowing it to be released, even though they probably had little say in it. You know, they probably just gave it up. They weren't using it, and they're like, whatever. And I guess maybe the FCC or who knows. Someone on Capitol Hill came and took it and gave it to us. But I'm looking forward to seeing it used. I'm looking forward to see what Google does with it. But really, I think the innovation should go beyond Google. I think they should just free it up to everybody and see what happens. I'm not saying there shouldn't be a regulation on technology. Maybe they could, they being the FCC, would say, hey, it has to be LTE. We have to do LTE on this. That would be really cool. You know, the other thing, if it doesn't work out for that, it's a great backhaul technology. Even if you're on LTE over it, it would be just an awesome backhaul technology. So then you could use it for backhaul and, again, another industry out there because we already use 5.8 for backhaul, right? It's a type of Wi-Fi frequency hopping. You know, use that for backhaul. But how cool would it be to have lightly licensed backhaul to fill in the gaps between licensed and unlicensed? I think it'd be awesome. But again, I get excited about stuff like this. I mean, to me, it's very exciting. And I'm looking forward to seeing it actually work out there. All right? Just something to think about, something for you to think about. So be smart, be safe, and pay attention. Don't do anything crazy or stupid out there. See ya.